Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the July meeting of the Murrumbidgee Shire Council. I'd like to start with an acknowledgement of country. Murrumbidgee Shire Council is proud to acknowledge the Tungurung and Wurundjeri people as the traditional custodians of the land on we now call Murrumbidgee Shire. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, who are the keepers of history, traditions, knowledge and culture of this land. Councillors, would you raise your right hand, please? The councillors, democratically elected to represent our community as the Murrumbidgee Shire Council, are committed to working together in the best interests of the people who live in our municipality, those who conduct business here, and those who visit. Thank you. This meeting is being streamed live via our Facebook page and website. A recording of the meeting, along with the official minutes of the meeting, will also be published on our website. Item 2.2, apologies and requests for planned leave. We have a request from Councillor Geringer for leave to go from the 22nd of August 2023 to the 10th of September 2023. Can I have someone so move? Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Someone to second. Councillor Lordy, all those in favour? Thank you. Harry. Do we have any disclosures of interest or conflict of interest? Thank you. 2.4, confirmation of minutes. We have before us a recommendation that Council confirm the minutes of the 28th of June 2023 scheduled meeting of Council. Can I have someone so move? Councillor Geringer, second. Councillor McCall, all those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Councillors, we have a petition for this evening, and it relates to road sealing of Stevenson Road and Aruna Drive, Buxton. There is a recommendation there in relation to that petition, which is shown in detail in the attachments. Can I have someone please move the recommendation? Councillor McCall.
As per the recommendation, thank you.
Someone to second? Councillor Carpenter, thank you. Do you wish to speak to the petition?
No.
Councillor Carpenter, do you wish to speak to the petition?
No, thank you.
Does anyone else wish to speak to the petition? Thank you. Wish to close?
Close.
Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Do we have any community recognition tonight? No, thank you very much. Are there any matters deferred from the previous meeting? Take it we have no urgent business. Public participation. Mr. Churchill.
Thank you. So Murrumbidgee Shire Council welcomes you to this open forum. Open forum provides an opportunity for presentations to council. They can be on one or more topics, but are to be limited to 5 minutes in total. The mayor will provide a 1 minute warning after 4 minutes. Submissions as part of open forum may be on any matter listed on the agenda or any other matter, provided that any submission extends due courtesy and respect to council and is not prejudicial to any person or organisation. Please remember that this meeting is being streamed live on the internet and a copy of the recording will be published on council's website, so you should take care in disclosing any personal or sensitive information. As chair of the meeting, the mayor reserves the right to cease a submission as part of open forum if it is deemed inappropriate. So when you're called, and please come forward and take this seat next to me here, you must remain seated. You're not permitted to approach councillors or officers during your presentation or at any other time during the meeting. If you are on, we don't have anybody online who's speaking tonight, so don't worry about that. Before you begin, please state your name, the name of any organisation you represent, and the matter on which you wish to speak. the end of your presentation, please remain seated. Whilst there'll be no discussion or debate, councillors may wish to ask you follow-on questions. If your topic is an item for tonight's meeting, this will be dealt with as listed on the agenda. Otherwise, the matter will be referred to the next investigation response. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chisholm. So the first person on my list tonight is Greg Conlon to talk about Killingworth Road development plan.
Hi everyone, my name's Greg Conlon. And I'm the applicant known as 204 Killingworth Road in Killingworth. Support Council's decision to approve the development plan for the proposed 16-lot subdivision. I believe it will create a great opportunity for locals currently residing on much smaller allotments in town and provide an opportunity to build new homes on larger allotments as well. It will provide the option for locals that are living on much larger farming land that may be getting close to an age of retirement, the ability to downsize and stay within a semi-rural environment also. Not to mention people currently living out of the area, the ability to become residents in an exceptional location, which is located in close proximity to the town centre of Yay. I wish to also thank the council staff, Murrindindi Shire, the planning department, for the seamless process of bringing this application to fruition. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Collin. Have you had a chance to engage with the terms that the officers have set out as part of the recommendation?
The recommendations of conditions? No, I haven't.
Okay. So I was going to ask if you had any concerns with those terms, but is it published in the agenda?
Yeah, look, I have had some personal issues this week. The loved one passing away. So I've finally been back in town this morning. So I haven't had a chance to look at the conditions.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now from Dorrington.
Thank you.
The next on the list is Mr. Bill Warren in relation to 7 Peterkin Street.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, councillors. I'm speaking tonight in support of our planning application for a subdivision of land at number 7 Peterkin Street in Alexandra. In 1971, I sat in this room for an interview, and that commenced a 51-year career in local government in many varying roles. But I won't be nostalgic because I'll probably use my 5 minutes. So. But could I also say thank you to the planning and engineering staff for their support and assistance with this project. It's much appreciated and it's been very helpful. I've read the reports and I'm generally pleased with the recommendation and the conditions that are provided, except one which I will come to. It's covered in the report, but we have commenced discussions with Vic Groves to provide access to the proposed lots 3 and 4 on the plan that forms part of the report. And those lots were now combined to reduce the total lot size to 19. But that will be the subject of a separate application at a later stage once we've sorted out issues with that. It's a little bit complex. I won't go into all the detail at this stage, but just start to fill you in on that detail. The only concern with the recommendation as it is the requirement for curb and channel construction along the Pettigan Street frontage. Pettigan Street's a relatively long side street. On the western side, there's an earth channel that runs the complete length of the street. It's proposed that the three lots that form part of the subdivision would be fully constructed, but the balance of the street would have an urban channel. So we'd have earth channel outside number one, full curb and channel lot number three, number five, and number seven, and then from nine to the end of the street would be urban channel. We had discussions with engineering staff about that in the initial period, and they were generally supportive of retaining that earthen channel. The court will be constructed, will be fully constructed and to the required standards, but we seek your indulgence to change that condition so that the streetscape will stay basically as it is and continue to sort of have that rural aspect. Totally happy, as I said, with the full construction of the court that's proposed as part of the subdivision. We see our subdivision as an exciting proposal for the town. It will add to the residential land stock in the area. I checked on realestate.com and there's only three blocks of land available for sale in the town today. It provides for a diversity of land sites, which supports the purpose of the land zone. The subdivision layout is complementary to the slope of the land. A drainage strategy has been prepared by our consultants for the site and submitted, and our consultants believe that the site drainage issues have been addressed, and we will work with council staff in that regard as needed. We consider that the site presents a mixture of housing options, and on balance, our subdivision achieves the objectives of the Council of Housing and Settlement Strategy and should be supported. In development of the subdivision, where possible, we will use local service providers for the subdivision construction. So that's about all I have to say at this stage. But once again, thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of the application. And could I just reiterate that the council staff have been very helpful with this application. You take that on board. And we're very appreciative of that support.
Councillors, any questions? Councillor Gilbert.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Warren. Thanks for the application and for your presentation. You mentioned a request to change a particular condition around that earthen channel from number one end of the street. You'd be aware that there are a number of objections and that one of those was around the concerns around drainage. Has that feedback been provided to yourself?
Yes, and we believe that through the drainage strategy we've provided that those concerns have been addressed.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Warren. Once again, in regard to drainage, because that's a big concern for Shire. With the drainage plan that your consultant has put forth, has that taken into consideration the extreme weather conditions we seem to be going through a lot more, in particular flooding? It hasn't been in the past, and we seem to be getting a lot more of that, or is it just based on past?
The strategy has been prepared, my understanding, and I'm not an engineer, to comply with the requirements and meet the appropriate drainage standards that would be applicable for a subdivision of that size and name.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Moore, I've got a couple of questions. You mentioned locks three and four wanting access through to the highway. You're working on that at some future date.
Yes, yeah. I've started discussions with the, I'm going to say RTA, the big roads.
Yeah.
The majority of my career has been in New South Wales.
It's probably more roads Victoria, actually. <you're talking> to.
I now live in Melbourne. So it's a complex process. It'll take sort of probably 12 months to work through that with big roads, perhaps longer.
Perhaps I should get to my question. Yeah. Are you looking for access for each of them? Or is it a combined access at the end of Peter's?
If you look at your plan, the house on the corner was my parents' home. They have accessed that property from what was then Atkins Street for 70 years. We're proposing to formalise that access to number one and to extend it about 20 metres up, and we'll have it constructed and drained, et cetera, as required, to provide access to those two other lots. But that would be subject of separate application.
Yeah. The other question you talked about, changing the requirement condition, I think it's 9B, in relation to Peterkin Street and the drainage. Could you just go through that again? I'm afraid when you were talking, I didn't have the blocks in front of me. I've got them there now. Just
part of the plan, the proposed plan of subdivision, there's three blocks at front of Peterkin Street.
Yep.
There's two lots and then access into the court constructed. And then there's the old cottage there, which was my grandparents' cottage, that would also be a further lot. So to comply with that requirement, we would have three properties that would have curb and gutter at the front. My parents' house at number one would be an earthen channel, and the earthen channel would continue up for the balance of the western side of Peterkin Street. Yeah. And in discussions when we had the engineering staff on site, they saw the merit in leaving the current earthen drain requirements as is. There may be some need to upgrade it in some fashion or form, but I'll be taking engineering advice in respect of that.
Basically, you then have a culvert to allow access to the court, if I'm getting it correctly. Is that where the earthen drain is, or is it?
No, it's along the side of Peterkin Street, along the roadside.
Well, the access from Peterkin Street to the court then, would that be crossing that earthen drain, or is it the drain?
Yes, of course, and that would be fully constructed
and
compliant with the relevant standards.
Okay. Councillors, any other questions?
Once again, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. The speaker is Mr. Stevenson, also to speak about Peterkin Street. Is that sick?
Okay. I'm Philip Stevenson. Just got a few concerns. Possibly, well, the drainage is one of them, obviously. It's flooded twice in the last 2 years. Concerned with the other houses added to the estate, the flood would be worse as heavy rain. If it's been addressed, good and well. Be happy to know how it's been addressed, but as long as it is, it'll be fine. Access to the highway, Beckman Street. Be good if there was further access to that street. Obviously, it's going to take a bit of time listening to previous gentlemen. Hopefully, it is approved, because otherwise, all the traffic will have to go back through Peterkin Street and Johnson Street just to get out of the estate. That will create a lot more traffic for minor streets. And it is a minor residential street down there. The buses do chew it up a bit. Buses and the trucks that came into that, left that in there. There was one other thing, but after speaking to some of the residents there in the area, one is pedestrian access. It's the same issues occur getting onto either Atkins Street or onto Johnson Street. Currently, there's no footpaths to get there. Footpath starts at Johnson Street. To get there, they've still got to access through the road or some other port. And the last thing is the visual effect. Hopefully, the fences can be farm fences rather than solid steel fences, in like a non-residential fences. Because from where we are, the view would look so much better if it's kept to a minimal with a visual distraction. But that's, whether that's on the council plans or not, I'm not sure where that comes into effect. But they're the concerns that I've got, and a couple of the neighbours. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. Councillors, have you got any questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stevenson. Can you just, for my benefit, whereabouts is your block, if you're comfortable?
Opposite and up, further past, up past Johnson.
On Peterborough Street.
On Peterborough Street, yes. Thank you. So it'll be, we're looking at the new estate constantly.
Thank you.
I acknowledge the houses have to go somewhere. So,
any other questions, councillors? Mm-hmm. You say it's flooded twice in the last two years. Whereabouts did the flooding occur? Right along Peterkin Street?
Down the end near where the estate is, near number one.
So it's down the highway end?
Down the highway end.
The junction.
Yeah. And there's the open drain that crosses over Johnson Street. It goes, it's a large open drain behind where we are in Peterkin Street, crosses under Johnson Street and goes to the bus depot there. That has flooded, or it's filled twice. They're saying two times. So once it's overflowed, second time was close to overflowing, which forces a lot of water down the drains and down towards the junction of Peterkin.
So listen.
When it did flood, was it when we had the severe floods?
Okay. Severe rains.
Okay. Yep. So under normal circumstances?
No, it's been fine under normal circumstances. But then twice in 2 years, it's becoming more often.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We do have a question of council.
Yes, we do, Mayor Walsh. We received a question submitted by Kelvin Granger and Dean Hurlston from Council Watch, Inc. The question is, can Council please advise the dollar amount of cost shifting from state government they estimate they incurred in the 2022-23 financial year? In response, to determine the exact dollar amount of cost shifting from the state government requires a thorough review and analysis of current and past grant funding, costs of service delivery, and cost of extra compliance obligations imposed on council over a period of time. As our finance staff are currently occupied in meeting the requirements of end of year reporting and preparation for the annual external audit, we do not have the capacity at present to quantify the dollar amount of cost shifting from state government for the year. Nevertheless, there are a range of areas where cost shifting by state government is impacting on the financial capacity of council. For example, grant payments to local government have either reduced over several years in real terms or are not sufficient to cover a fair share of the cost to council, even though councils are required to maintain the same levels of service. Examples include provision of library services, school crossing supervision, roadside weed management, provision of maternal and child health services, immunisation, emergency management, which includes preparedness, response and recovery. In addition, certain policies of the state create constraints on the availability of own generated funds that council can use to provide services. Example of these include the Fair Go rating system, which sets a cap on annual rate rises, which over several years has been set below the annual consumer price index and below cost escalations experienced by councils. The state landfill levy imposed on council has increased substantially in recent years without any commensurate reinvestment of these funds back into the local resource recovery. Implementation of the circular economy policy and the associated curbside collection reforms will involve significant increases in costs to council, much of which will need to be recovered through higher charges to local communities. Statutory planning fees being set by the state at levels below the actual cost of servicing planning applicants and processing applications. And finally, state legislative reforms incrementally create additional administrative and compliance costs for council. For example, the revised Local Government Act 2020 now requires council to utilise more resource-intensive engagement practices, create committees like CEO Performance and Remuneration Committee involving paid independent advisor, the need to address climate change impacts when making decisions. While council recognises the beneficial outcomes, they do require additional resources. All of these contribute to shifting additional costs onto council and thereby incrementally diminishing council's financial capacity.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. That ends public participation, so we'll get into the reports. Item 4.1, a planning application. 10 Murchison Street, Marysville, in relation to signage. Mr. Fraser.
Thank you, Mayor Welsh. Councillors, item 4.1 on your agenda tonight. Officers are requesting that this matter be a decision on this application be deferred. Earlier this week, following the publishing of the agenda for tonight's meeting, the permit applicant has advised that they intend to amend the application pursuant to Section 57A of the Planning and Environment Act to remove the internally illuminated pole sign and replace with an additional sign at ground level. Plans will need to be formally submitted, and when this occurs, the application will need to be re-advertised. Current objections will remain in place until they are formally withdrawn by objectors. So there is a chance that the current objections won't be withdrawn. It is requested that a decision on this item be deferred tonight.
So we move on to item 4.2.
Thank you. So item 4.2 is the proposed development plan for the land at 204 Killingworth Road in Killingworth. The development plan provides the basis for future development of land, which has been zoned for rural residential land uses. Future applications would need to be consistent with the development plan and will be the subject of a separate application. The land is located on Killingworth Road with frontage to Williamson's Road and has an area of 36.3 hectares. The land is in a rural living zone and is affected by the development plan overlay. A development plan has been approved by council in 2019 for the land on the opposite side of Williamson's Road, for which subsequent planning permits have been issued, with works expected to commence in the second half of 2023. The development plan before you proposes to include the construction of a new internal road and will provide up to 16 lots. The development plan has been advertised to adjoining landowners and relevant referral authorities. External agencies have provided general comment for the inclusion in the approved development plan, and no written responses or submissions were received from neighbours. The report recommends that council approve the submitted development plan for the land located at 204 Killingworth Road in Killingworth.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Councillors, are there any questions? Councillor Cavanagh.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Fraser, I wonder if I could pose a couple of questions to make sure I quite understand what a development plan is. So I take it that the land is appropriately zoned, but undeveloped, but it's subject to a development plan overlay, is that right?
Yes, yeah.
So a development plan just provides the community with sort of a high sense, the high level sense of what's going to be developed. It's not a planning process, just such, or a planning application permit process just yet.
Yeah, so it's not an application under the Planning and Environment Act. It's an application under the schedule to the overlay. Normally land within this overlay contains multiple parcels of land that are developed in an integrated way. So that we don't get an application for this site and then an application for the adjoining site, and that all happens and they're not connected or best laid out from a broader land use perspective.
And so whilst it's not a planning application, there still has been a period of advertising, there's been opportunity for community to put opinions, perspectives.
Yes. Yeah.
And so there ultimately will be a planning application required for a subdivision to be effected, is that right?
There will be a planning permit required, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions, councillors? Well, we have a recommendation. Someone care to move it? Councillor Lordy.
Thank you.
Seconder, Councillor Gerringer. Councillor Lording, you wish to speak?
I think our planning department done a great job with this one. I can't see anything wrong with it at all. And I'm very pleased that we're sort of heading towards some more land available in the township of Yay for its development and for the 14 to 16 copy houses they've got already. So I strongly support that. Thank you.
Councillor Gerringer.
No, thank you, Mayor.
Does anyone else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Lording, if you wish to close.
Yes, close, please, Mr. Mayor.
Councillors, the recommendation is there. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item 4.3, planning application 7 Peterkin Street, Alexandra, 19 lot subdivision. Mr. Fraser.
Thank you. An application has been received for a 19-lot subdivision on the land at 7 Peterkin Street in Alexandra. The land is in the general residential zone and it's not affected by any overlays. The site is located on the northern edge of the Alexandra Township and is accessible only via Peterkin Street. The application has been referred externally to Goulburn Valley Water, Seat Bay, AusNet and the Department of Transport, who have consented to the proposal subject to conditions. 3 objections have been received in relation to drainage, lot sizes and amenity. It is considered that the subdivision of land into 19 lots is appropriate and will provide additional residential land within the existing township boundaries. On the balance, it is considered that 19 lots is consistent with the provisions of the Murrindindi planning scheme, as well as the housing and settlement strategy, which was approved by council in 2022. This report recommends that a notice of decision to grant a permit be issued for the proposed 19-lot subdivision at 7 Peterkin Street, Alexandra.
Councillors, any questions? Councillor Gilligan.
Thank you, Mayor. I wonder, Mr. Fraser, does Clause 6 provide the necessary assurance for the community there'll be no downstream drainage capacity issues as a result from this development?
It does. So this is required before any works occur on the site. The requirement for the drainage, the drainage design and drainage strategy looks to manage drainage both within the subject site and the surrounding catchment. So that includes upstream and downstream. We're not blocking anything from going into it and not stopping anything from coming out or anything like that.
So there's detention provisions.
There's detention provisions in Clause 6 at 6A of the recommendation.
I wonder, does this development landlock any other developable land?
Not any more than it currently is. So within Peterkin Street itself, there is a number of larger holdings of land that could be further subdivided. That's not stopped by this proposal.
And I wonder, Mr. Fraser, if yourself or other officers might have a perspective on Mr. Warne's request there that there'd be a change to the permit term 9B to rework that engineering requirement for an earthen drain.
Yeah. So particularly condition 6B of the recommendation there on page 24, it will come down to ultimately that detailed design and what the street can handle. From a character perspective, there is open drains all along Peterkin Street, but we recognise from an engineering perspective, it is best to send this underground. So there's sort of an argument either way that could be made. What you could potentially look at there with that condition is perhaps adding onto the end of it to the satisfaction of the responsible authority, so that can be reassessed at a time once that detailed stormwater strategy and has been completed and approved by our engineering team, and that decision can be made based on having all the facts in front of us.
Would that be the engineering recommendation or planning recommendation?
That would be part of that condition, which forms part of the planning permit. So it would be from a planning perspective, I guess. At 6B, yeah.
So your suggested wording around to...
Yeah, so sorry. So 6B, sorry, would be condition 6B on page 24 would be amended to say provision of underground stormwater drains along Peterkin Street to the satisfaction of the responsible authority.
Sorry, and that's, just to be clear, that's your recommendation or that's an opportunity for council to make that?
That's an opportunity for council to make that decision.
Thank you, Mayor. Once again, on the drainage, obviously we've been caught throughout the Shire with the extreme impacts of flooding. When the drainage plans and calculations are being done, can we take into consideration extreme conditions, because they are happening more often? Mm-hmm. And if that can be included within that and the wording to appropriate that, not just on the last 10 years, on what's happening now, because we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the infrastructure design manual that's been adopted by council and is used as that's the guiding document for the provision of our infrastructure does take into consideration Australian standards, the impacts of climate change, and those extremes that come with that. That is part of the consideration against that document. Yeah.
Just a couple of clarification points. Coming back to 6B, firstly, we've said to add a reference to the responsible authority at the end of that section to be approved. But the whole section is supposed to be approved by the responsible authority. Yeah. Is this a different responsible authority that you're referring to?
No, the responsible authority at the end of the day is still council.
So I guess agree we've probably covered it already.
You could argue that.
I'm not asking what I could do.
No. So with the, I guess, saying underground stormwater drains is a very specific requirement. So if it comes out as a result of that further work that needs to be done, that the site could be kept as open drainage, then you would we would then have to amend that condition through a formal amendment process.
Could it be covered by provision of underground stormwater drains as determined by the responsible authority? I see where you...
Or as determined.
Yeah. But
just remove the word underground.
Yeah.
The way it's the drainage, the drainage system in total.
Oh, yeah. That makes...
I have a feeling I know why the underground might be there to give comfort to people who are concerned about... Initial impacts, etc.
Through Mr. Mayor, I think it provides... the council still has to be satisfied whether it's the piping size is underground or how it's dealt with above ground. The drainage strategy that's provided and the engineering solution has to be to the satisfaction of council. So if council isn't satisfied one way, it has to be dealt with. So there is a good catch there. Just gives flexibility in how it can be considered.
I take the point. So we can just take out underground.
Yeah.
Thank you. One more on that same area. 6D, adverse impacts on downstream properties. I have a sneaking suspicion some of the concerns about flooding at the intersection of Johnson Street and Peterkin Street could be due to the problem of drainage not having sufficient capacity and therefore causing backups further back what would normally be upstream properties. Should we look at adverse impacts on existing properties?
Or just take out the word downstream.
Yeah.
Yeah, adverse impacts on the properties.
Yeah. Councillor Lawley.
I'm concerned about drainage too, because there's been flooding along there, everything trying to get into UT Creek. My question is, has it been taken into account or rephrased? If it does overflow, does it come back to cost us money? Because the climate concentration on roofs is far less than it is on grass, so there's going to be quite a lot more flow there after a downpour. I'm just concerned that we're going to finish up wearing the cost of improving the drainage.
Within the development?
And downstream.
The way the actual recommendation reads is that the design's got to be designed in a manner that does not create any further impact on the current flow of water. So it has to be a system that retains and manages it all. The other aspect it does talk about is it also needs to consider the impact of 100-year storm. Yeah. So it's got to make sure that it doesn't cause any impact with 100-year storm.
I think I share the same as Councillor Hasler. Worried about overflow there.
Well,
because it's Green Street and all that. Like, so.
From an engineering point of view, then, Mr. Albertini, are you satisfied that the existing words as amended, taking out term underground and then downstream, and just leaving it more general so you can look at the whole problem? Meets the requirements.
The words being cement, councillors, the words are written in a way to say that the current flows do not alter with the development. So, and but also to consider what the impacts are in 100 years as well. So it has to be designed to make sure that outflows are no different than current flows.
Okay, that will
be good. Any other questions, councillor?
Just one more.
Councillor Gerstner.
Thank you. In relation to the footpaths, why are we not having the right requirements both slope? Because obviously we're going to have a lot more people. The street already has a lot of houses on there, and the opportunity for more houses or more land to be developed. So, thus, we're going to have a lot more people walking around there, and one would think, plus the increased vehicle traffic.
Yeah.
So, is there a reason why we're sort of only looking at it on the one side and not the other side?
Is this on Peterkin Street, you mean? Or,
yeah, on Peterkin Street, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the actual, the requirement to construct a footpath on that, along that frontage there on Peterkin Street is consistent with the infrastructure design manual requirements. With the opposite side of Peterkin Street to the subject site, you would be, that's the bus depot along there, you wouldn't, the actual use of that, I imagine, would be pretty restricted just by way of how that side of the road is developed. The recommendation is recommending is in accordance with the requirements of the IDM there. Yeah.
Other questions, councillors? Well, we have a recommendation with two amendments there. Can I have someone move? Councillor
Gallagher. Thank you, Mayor. I move further recommendation with the word underground removal or 6D, word downstream removal 6D.
Can I have a second? Councillor McCall. Councillor Gallagher, you wish to speak?
Only to say thank you, Mayor, that this particular parcel, the subdivision, is well within the residential zone that's set out in the housing settlement strategy. This is the growth area for Alexandra, among others that have been identified. So highly supportive of establishing a new location for development for potential rental properties and for largely building additional housing stock into our shire and particularly
to
Alexandra. Thank you.
Councillor
McCall. I concur with what Councillor Gallagher has just said and consider that this is quite consistent with the planning scheme. So thank you very much and thank you.
Any other councillors to speak for or against? Councillor Gallagher, you wish to close?
Close.
Councillors. We have the motion. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried.
Thank you, councillors.
Thank you, Mr. Fraser. Item 4.4, Murrumbidgee Planning Scheme Review. Mr. Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, the council has a role as responsible authority for managing the Murrumbidgee Planning Scheme. Under the Planning Environment Act, councils are required to regularly review and update their planning scheme to make sure it reflects state and local policies and brings it up to date in that process. Council staff have undertaken a review internally, have consulted with a number of referral agencies to form the draft document. So tonight we'd like it noted and put out for public exhibition to see how other people have experienced the planning scheme and how we can also learn from the broader community's views in that space.
Mm-hmm. Councillors, any questions? Yes, Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Paxton. I wonder, there's a lot of priorities outlined in the draft report, a few that stand out, I think, are the implementation of the Ewan Structure Plan and the preparation and implementation of the Alexandra Structure Plan. Can you talk to what the structure plan is in terms of this process?
Through Mr. Mayor, Councillor, a structure plan provides a layer of a bit more detail within it about the orderly planning around the town and how we develop the zone. It may also include guidelines on built form, height, and elements like that to really help, I suppose, streamline how that developers know what councillors are in that space and the community can expect what change occurs in that area.
Thank you. And I know it must be challenged. The report outlines that there's the strategic planner in developing this report. It's juggled 15 strategic and other projects. So the report mentions external funding and partnerships in order to resource what's required to execute what we want to achieve in strategic planning and all the actions that this report outlines. So can you describe some of those partnership, those funding opportunities?
Yeah. Through the state government, they have a funding for small regional councils to access planning expertise. So that group helped fund the planning scheme review. And also we've been having conversations about how we progress the structure plan of Alexandra or other locations like that through that funding. So it's essentially state government funding to help bring expertise and resources in to bring forward a works program.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, councillors, we have the recommendation here. It's in here to move. Councillor Lord.
It's about the officer's recommendation. Thanks.
Someone to second. Councillor Gerrington. Councillor Lord, you wish to speak?
I'm so pleased that we are doing this. It is very badly needed, and it has brought up some areas where we have some things that contravene all sorts of other things. So this amount of work will help us a great deal in the development of the Shire for the next 10 years. Thank you.
Councillor Gerringer?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Anyone else wish to speak for things? Councillor Carpenter?
I'd just like to say that I do hope the community take time to read this and give some input that we really would like to hear from them about this draft. Thank you.
Councillor Lord, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We're all equal these days. Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Gary. Item 5.1, tender for collaborative digital innovation, IT systems alignment project. Mr. Chesworth.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh. Project CODI is a collaborative digital transformation project across the rural councils of Mansfield, Murrindindi, Strathbogie and Benalla, involving the replacement of a number of older IT business systems. These include the planning, building and regulatory services module, finance, customer request management, rates and property, and information management. The transition to new systems will be supported through the alignment of business processes across the four councils, which in the future hopefully will enable us to share resources and services. The project has been made possible with $1 million grant from the state's Rural Councils Transformation Program and $888,000 from the state's Business Acceleration Fund, and then $2.2 million being contributed across the four councils over the next three financial years. The project has a very tight timeframe to achieve, to deliver, and the priority is being placed on the replacement of the information management and the planning, building and regulatory services modules from a timing perspective as a requirement of the funding. Tender was prepared and advertised on Mansfield's tender portal. Mansfield Shire Council is acting as the lead council for this project. It was placed on the portal on the 12th of April and closed on the 11th of May. And tenderers could submit a proposal for either a best of breed solution for an individual module or for an enterprise-wide solution covering all modules. The tender is for initial term of 5 years with two-year extensions, making a maximum contract length of 9 years. The weighted evaluation criteria are shown in your report, and the evaluation panel consisted of director and manager level representation across the four councils. At the close of the tender, 7 submissions have been received. 5 of these were selected for shortlisting, and demonstrations were conducted to assist with the evaluations. Of these 5 tenders, 2 submitted for an enterprise-wide solution, and 3 were best-of-breed solutions relating to 2 individual modules. So Council has been provided with a detailed tender evaluation report as a confidential attachment to this agenda. After consideration of all the criteria, the evaluation panel was satisfied that it could recommend awarding contracts for the implementation of the 2 higher priority modules, being information management, to a company called Logicalis, and the planning, building and regulatory services to a company called EVIS. While the prices, which cover both implementation and ongoing licensing costs for EVIS and Logicalis, are slightly higher than the other vendors, the quality of the interface and the demonstrated successful use of the products across councils in Victoria, as well as the demonstrated implementation and technical support, resulted in these particular products being rated higher than the lower priced offers from the other 2 tenderers. Both vendors also demonstrated to the satisfaction of the evaluation panel that they are capable of implementing the systems across all 4 councils within the required timeframes. With respect to the remaining modules, it was only possible to compare the individual modules of the 2 enterprise-wide vendors, as the tender did not attract sufficient best-of-breed solutions for these particular modules, with the exception of rates and property, which did attract 1. It became apparent during the evaluation that implementation of individual modules from an enterprise-wide solution was not going to be a cost-effective option under the current tender. Further, the evaluation panel was not satisfied that the solutions provided by either vendor represented the best outcome for the councils. It is therefore proposed to recommence a procurement process to seek an enterprise-wide solution covering those remaining modules, finance, customer management, and rates and property. And this approach has been supported by the funding bodies. Mansfield Shire Council is the lead council of the project and holds the project grant funds on behalf of all 4 councils. And as such, Mansfield Shire Council will award a single contract to each successful tenderer for the implementation of the 2 project modules across the 4 councils, but this is subject to the endorsement of all 4 councils. The implementation costs, the ongoing license, so the project funds cover the implementation costs. The ongoing license costs for these solutions, however, are additional to the grant funding budget and have been, the cost of these have been provided in your report. And council is required to commit to the licensing costs as part of the tender award process. So the recommendation is that council endorse the awarding of contracts by Mansfield Shire Council for the implementation of new business systems in accordance with the memorandum of understanding signed by the 4 partner councils, being Mansfield, Murrindindi, Strathbogie and Benalla, and that was endorsed at the 22nd of September 2022 council meeting, and includes all payment of all agreed contributions for the following modules. Firstly, an award of a lump sum contract to Logicalis for implementation of the information management module across the 4 partner councils, and secondly, award a lump sum contract to EVIS for implementation of the planning, building and regulatory services module across the 4 councils. And secondly, that the council awards licensing agreements between Murrindindi Shire Council and the selected vendors as follows: to Logicalis for the information management module for a term of 5 years with the option of 2 2-year extensions to a maximum value of $280,402, and EVIS for the planning, building and regulatory services module for a term of 5 years with the option of 2 2-year extensions to a maximum value of $1.155344. Sorry, that should be $1,155,344. And finally, to authorise the Chief Executive Officer to execute the licensing agreements.
Thank you, Mr. Chisholm. Councillors, are there any questions? Councillor Carter.
I hope this is a sensible question. Do I presume that all the councils will be, the other councils will have the same recommendation that they need to agree to as well? And have any of them so far?
Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. That's a good question. Yes, to the first one, all four councils are considering the same information at their respective July council meetings. And yes, two councils, Mansfield and Strathbogie, have resolved to support their officer recommendations to date.
Thank you.
Benel's yet to hold its meeting.
Thank you.
Any other questions? The councillors have got the recommendation now. Would someone care to move? Councillor Gallagher.
I'll move that recommendation. Thank you, ma'am.
And from someone to second, Councillor Clarkson. Councillor Gallagher, wish to speak?
Yes, thank you, ma'am. I'd simply like to acknowledge the efforts of Mr. Chesworth, his team, and the Manager of Business Services for preparing the recommendation and for working with the Rural Council's Transport Action Program and the Business Acceleration Fund agencies to negotiate the delivery program of these several integrated Tier 1 systems. I'd also like to extend thanks to the collaboration hosts, Mansfield Shire Council and partners Strathbogie Shire Council and Benalla Rural City. The delivery timelines for business analysis, procurement, implementation are ambitious. So the program phasing, the acceleration of the information management system project and execution of the solution licensing is a credit to a strong collaboration. I'd strongly endorse the recommendation, which promises to deliver efficiency to operations and for our community a more cohesive relationship with their local council.
Thank you, Governor.
And I would just like to say I really do hope this will deliver the efficiencies that we would like to see.
Anyone else wish to speak for this? Absolutely.
My experience in this area, it worries me a little bit when we pick a lot of modules from different suppliers. But I have worked when at IBM with Mansfield Shire Council, and they impressed me with their IT area. And I think we've certainly gone into this with our eyes wide open. So, I'm very happy with this and I hope it goes very well. Thank you.
I'll just say too that I think the work that's been put in by all concerned is commendable. I hope that they're congratulating themselves on the efforts they've achieved to date. But I also hope they realise the best is yet to come. Councillor Gallagher, just to close.
Thank you, Mayor. Just in closing, I'm just acknowledging that Councillor Warding's observation is absolutely correct and that there are various options available, whether to go down a complete enterprise system that covers all of the needs or to choose best of breed solutions and then via an integration partner such as has been chosen to have a cohesive solution. So they both have their merits and hopefully the option to go best of breed serves all of the partner councils.
Thank you. Councillors, we have the motion. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item 5.2, public liability insurance renewal.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Walsh. Yep. This report recommends that Council approve the payments of $312,039.70 plus GST for the renewal of Council's public liability and professional indemnity insurance cover for the 2023-24 year, as the payment is above the CEO's financial delegation. Council is a member of the NAB Liability Mutual Insurance Scheme, which provides public liability and professional indemnity insurance cover for 78 of the 79 councils in Victoria. And advice from the administrators of the scheme indicates that the insurance market is currently facing many financial challenges which is placing upward pressure on the cost of insurance premiums. In addition, the council's premium for 23-24 has been inflated due to a significant ongoing claim relating to a road-related incident from 2019 that is yet to be settled. This means council's premium has increased 22% compared to an industry average of 12%. However, if this claim is settled in favour of council, it's likely this premium will reduce in future years. So the recommendation is before you.
Mm-hmm. Councillors, any questions? Councillor Gully.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Chesworth, thank you. I'm thinking that a hike in price like this is an opportune time to review the situation. You know, I suspect that officers are given a bit of a consideration to whether or not the MAV's liability mutual insurance scheme is still the most ideal product for council to deliver the most value for council. Has that been the case?
Yes, the mutual scheme, because it has 78 of the 79 councils, it brings together, it sort of aggregates the need, which makes it much more attractive to an insurer to want to insure. So, and the MAV actually went out to tender just in 2022 to secure the arrangement that the scheme has now. So it has been market tested very recently. If council was to go alone to seek public liability insurance, it would be very difficult to find an insurer that would be willing to take that on. And the cost would be significantly higher than what we're able to achieve through the scheme. So it, given the restricted nature of the market, it's the best option for us from a value for money perspective, for sure.
Thank you.
Any other question? All right. Can I have someone move the recommendation? And so, Dylan. Councillor Hazard, have you moved to second?
Yeah.
Councillor Gallagher.
No, thank you, Mayor. Welcome to the recommendation.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Just want to say I've done a quick mental calculation in the comparison to public liability insurance that I've had to pay myself. I think we're doing real well. Councillor Gallagher, you split.
Close.
Thank you. Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Carry. Item 5.3, referendum on an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Voice to Parliament information sharing campaign. Ms. Cullen.
As part of the Australian government's commitment to implement the Uluru Statement from the Heart, a referendum will be held between October and December 2023 to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in the Constitution by establishing an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice. The purpose of this report is to seek Council's endorsement to commence an information sharing program on the upcoming referendum, to assist the community to understand the purpose of the referendum, and to feel confident in having respectful and factual conversations regarding the voice to Parliament and to cast their vote in the upcoming referendum. The information sharing program is underpinned by four content pillars being: what is a referendum, what is the voice, why a voice, and how a voice would work. Campaign content would be sourced from reputable and fact-checked publications, primarily through the Australian government's Recognising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples through a voice resources, which can be found on voice.gov.au, both in print and in digital formats. The information sharing campaign has been designed to have presence across all council library and customer service centres, including our mobile library service, in print through council's quarterly news community newsletter, on radio through council segments discussions on UGFM, as well as on council's website and Facebook platforms. The proposed program will run for a 6-week period beginning on the 31st of July this year. And the recommendation is that you endorse the commencement of this information sharing campaign. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions? A recommendation, would someone care to move? Councillor Derringer.
As per the officer's recommendation, thank you, Mayor.
Someone there to second. Councillor Carpenter. Councillor Derringer, you wish to speak?
Just briefly, I just want to thank the officers for the information and the detailed briefings they've given us on this, and it will be good to get the information out to people so they can make their own decision. Thank you.
Councillor Carpenter.
No, thank you, Mayor.
Does anyone else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Kelly.
Thank you, Mayor. There is understandable anxiety in our community about the impact the new chapter in the Constitution might mean for the comfortable and privileged life that we enjoy. I think Council's uniquely placed and duty-bound to combat anxiety by displacing opinion and conjecture with independent information on the ambitions of the change. A change which quite simply seeks to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island people as the first people of Australia and to establish a constitutionally recognised body with power to make recommendations to the federal government on matters relating to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island. The decision to support the change is, or otherwise, is not one delegated to local councillor or a local member. And so this information program is designed to empower every person to exercise their democratic duty later this year by making a conscious, well-informed decision. So I support the motion and I welcome support for the program from all the leaders and institutions across the community.
Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor McCaul.
Thank you. Welcome the recommendation that you put before us. And I also welcome the opportunity that we've got to actually share the actual factual information about what this decision is for people so they can make a well-informed decision. It's not about council saying this is what you should be doing. It's about this is the information that's before you and we encourage you to be informed for this referendum. So thank you very much for the recommendation.
Councillor Guernsey, do you wish to close?
Close, please, Mayor.
Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Eric, those against? Thank you. Item 5.4, motion of the AIB statement.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh. So this report is for Council to endorse submitting a motion to the MAUB State Council to be held on the 13th of October 2023. And the motion is that the formula used by the Victorian Grants Commission in determining the allocation of Commonwealth Finance Assistance Grants be reviewed, place greater emphasis on the impacts of natural disasters and climate change, the limited alternate revenue streams or options for rural councils and the increased demands of heavy transport and tourism impacting local roads. Any submissions before the MAB State Council need to address the strategic objectives of the MAV. And the first one there is listed in your report there is economically sound councils, which this particular item relates to. And it's also in response to a submission that Council did make to the Victorian Grants Commission last year, seeking a review of these formula to deliver a more appropriate and equitable outcome for Council and for rural councils in general. And to date, we're yet to see a willingness on behalf of the Grants Commission or the Victorian Government to recommend or to implement a review of the formulae. So the motion, the proposed motion does meet with the requirements of the MAB and the recommendation there for Council to consider doing that.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions? All right. Can I have someone move the recommendation, please? Councillor Hazard.
That's the officer's recommendation.
Thank you so much. Second. Councillor Felligan. Councillor Hazard.
No, thank you.
Councillor Gilligan.
Thank you, Mayor. We talk a lot about councillor advocacy, its role in advocacy. So in this forum and in our respective conversations in the community, it's clear that council is resource constrained. Typically, municipal rates account for around 55% of council's income. And the balance is achieved by careful and diligent advocacy to state and federal governments about the challenges we face and the expectations that Murrumbindi citizens have for service delivery equity. This motion articulates the core challenges we face with a dispersed emergency affected asset base and limited capacity to raise additional revenue. I support the motion. I hope that the Municipal Association membership supports our request of the eminent officers of the Victorian Lands Commission for a review of the levers and dials at their disposal.
Anyone else wish to speak? Can I just say, at the National Convention of Australian Local Governments, the common theme throughout was the need to increase financial assistance grants, and I can't think of a single council across the country disagreeing with that position. However, we also know that then the disbursement, the calculation of our share, when compared to other councils, not only is there a need for an overall increase, but there is a need to reallocate the shares, especially the small rural councils such as ourselves. And that's the aim of this recommendation. I do want to thank the CEO for the great deal of effort she's gone in to go through all the past statistics that show that we aren't getting our fair share. And to date, clear evidence has not persuaded the powers that be to actually take action, but hopefully we can persuade sufficient councillors to work with us to see the merit of what we're doing and thus put more pressure on the state government and the system that they run. So it has the cost.
Thank you, Mayor.
Councillors, all those in favour? Mm-hmm. Item 6.1, Contract 23.1, Sealed Roads Rehabilitation Program, Tender Award. Mr. Albertini.
Thank you, Mayor and Councillors. This report provides the results of a tender process to appoint a contractor for Contract 23/1. Sealed Roads Rehabilitation Program. The scope of the contract is to undertake rehabilitation works to repair localised failures of road pavement and seal on 15 roads across the Shire. Scope of works includes roads and associated budgets for the 2022-23 program that were not able to be rehabilitated due to extreme weather and have been carried forward to this 23-24 program. Successful completion of the sealed road rehabilitation program is an essential requirement that must be met prior to the large resealing program scheduled for summer this year. We need to point out there was an error in the document in that one of the roads, Kingland Glenburn Road, is in Kinglake, not Kingland West, so apologies for that. Given the increased scope of the necessary works, the report recommends that council allocates funds from 22-23 financial year to the 23-24 financial year and for the sealed roads rehabilitation program so that the revised total budget for this year's program is $692,087. An open tender process was undertaken and one respondent was received. This response was assessed against the tender evaluation criteria was found to be on market for products, given that it was only slightly higher than last year's tender. The recommended tender is experienced and has successfully carried out works past year. Based on the evaluation, it is recommended a tender one be awarded award contract 23/1, Silver Roads Rehabilitation Programs 2023-24 for a lump sum price of $632,087 to complete the required works. The recommendation is presented to Council for your consideration.
Councillors, any questions? Councillor Wood.
We are looking at a more resilient, or are we looking at a more resilient ceiling regime?
Yes, this is actually the works associated to, oh, sorry, Mr. Mayor, this is the works associated to get the road to a level, like removing soft spots and failed paving sections. So then the resealing program come on board later on track. We are actually looking at considering thinner asphalt as an option compared to just normal seal to get more life. But that's another contract that's going to be coming down the council later on. Yeah, this is more about the works to get the road standard.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Yeah. Is someone care to move? What's the carriage?
As per the officer's recommendation, thank you, Mayor.
Someone second? Yes, they will. That's the carriage, Mr. Speaker.
Just very briefly, I just want to thank Fido and his officers for the work involved in this, and we all know that it's important to have the roads at a standard. And obviously the weather has played a big part in this being delayed, so it will be nice to have this out of the way so we can move forward and get the rest of the roads up to a standard. So thank you.
Councillor Lordy?
I just want to support what Councillor Guerin just said there. There's a phenomenal amount of work involved in this, and we need to be fairly careful, make sure that it is well spent. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Guernsey, you wish to close?
Close, please, Mayor.
Okay. Councillors, we have a motion. All those in favour? Thank you, Perry. Item 7.1. I don't believe we have any notices of motion. Councillor reports. Councillor Carpenter.
Not this month, thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. The Alexandra community is celebrating its successful lobbying for a local face-to-face banking presence. A number of meetings and activities have been reported to Council, and that energy and those efforts have seen Beck Taylor appointed as the new bank manager. A new Alexandra agency will offer retail and business banking service, except for cash handling, which will continue to be offered at the Alexandra News Agency. Now, the new Alexandra Banking Agency will also host a representative of Rural Bank, who will support local agribusiness banking needs. The outcome is a credit to local families, businesses and organisations who are committed to banking locally. I again acknowledge the community for supporting their friends and their neighbours who rely on face-to-face banking. The advocacy, supported by Council, was led by a small dedicated working group in Alexandra who worked with the board of the Yay and District Community Bank. Everyone is invited to attend a community meeting next Monday, 31st July at 5:30 at the Alexandra RSL Hall in Grant Street, Alexandra, to meet the new bank manager, to pose any inquiries to the board and to celebrate this great community achievement. The Alexandra District Health Board executive and staff conducted a public board meeting in Alexandra this evening. The board outlined local services on offer and described some powerful undergraduate and graduate enrolled nurse training programs, specifically designed to enable young local people to progress their education and their career locally. Questions from the many community members in attendance were welcomed and answered. Having established the current year budget, the attention of Council now turns to preparation of the 2022-2023 annual report. Council's annual report is comprised of a report of operations, audited financial statements, and an audited performance statement. Governance and risk officers are finalising the finance and performance statements in preparation for a review by the external auditor assigned by the Victorian Auditor General's Office. The statements are then examined by the Audit and Risk Committee until they are satisfied to recommend that the statements be adopted by Council. Council's final annual report is scheduled for adoption in October. In the forthcoming month or so, the annual general meeting season is upon us. Citizens across the Shire are encouraged to keep an eye out on social media and in the local press for the opportunity to contribute their expertise and life experience as a volunteer. There are service clubs, sporting clubs, special interest associations, councils advisory committees and groups, hobby collectives, event organisation committees, and more who are ready to welcome newcomers. Murrindindi Shire volunteers are welcoming and supportive. Besides mental stimulation, social connection, and making a difference, there's fun to be had.
Thank you. Councillor Granger.
Just a very quick one, if I may, please, Mayor. Not a report, more an announcement or a, shall I say, veiled Joe Exton. Joe Exton was a member of the Kinglake community for over 66 years and sadly passed away on his annual trip to Queensland on the 1st of this month, and it was quite devastating. Joe was very much involved in the Kinglake community, and after Black Saturday donated some land so that Middle Kinglake Primary School could be rebuilt. He was a pillar of the community and spent a lot of time helping people in the community. His funeral was last Friday, and from all accounts, it was quite huge, and he will be sadly missed. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Councillor Lawley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Disregarding the planning scheme review, the Local Government Act requires all councils to review their planning scheme periodically, with that time being due later this year. This is an important process to ensure the planning scheme remains current to enhance and protect the unique qualities of the Shire whilst attracting investment, employment and housing opportunities, which is of great importance, seeing that housing and rental properties are in very short supply all over Victoria. It is getting to the stage where the limited accommodation is detracting from businesses being able to hire new employees, especially those from other shires. It also affects local young people who are just starting out in life and thinking of starting a family. We may lose them to other shires or to the city, which is a shame. The review has been undertaken by officers and referral organisations to identify opportunities and ensure alignment with the state policies and adopted council policies. This is an important stage of the process for community and business input into the priorities and action proposed. Council has tonight endorsed the review for public comment. Please take the time to read the review and give us lots of feedback. The review sets out how Murrindindi Shire will look and feel into the future, and that is your future. Further information will be available on our webpage. In the event that you cannot get a copy electronically, please call into one of our offices and request a copy. And as well as that, I was the councillor guest to the Christmas in July at the Glenburn Community Hall. We had a really good night. It was well attended. I think about 60 people I counted. So that the Shire, or the area, the township of Glenburn is growing nicely, and it is actually growing together. Thank you.
I hope I enjoyed the new bridge. Councillor McCall.
Thank you, Mayor. I am very excited this month to report that in the business and economic development portfolio, there are a number of new initiatives that are in the early stages of implementation, as well as the normal busy day-to-day business. My report, therefore, may look a little like a dot point journal as I highlight some of the new initiatives. As mentioned last month, Ben Harbour has started as the Manager of Business and Economic Development. He has already been out and about with the team, meeting several key businesses to understand their needs and aspirations. I encourage anyone who would like to reach out and talk to the business and tourism team, please contact them by phoning our front office on 5772-0333. The team is looking at developing a business and economic development strategy. They will be reviewing all the studies and work done to date, and exciting opportunities for the business network to be revamped to encourage and enable business-led collaboration. In the area of forest transition, Council continues to engage with the forest haulage contractors and DJPR staff to share understanding and concerns of the early cessation of native timber logging. Affected contractors are encouraged to please continue to engage with Council. The Shaping Murrindindi project is looking at longer-term planning for future businesses and economic development. We need to understand the impacts of the transition out of logging socially, economically and environmentally. The team is looking at short-term wins and needs, as well as looking for initiatives to keep and grow jobs and communities in the longer term. An exciting opportunity is that Council is actively exploring the opportunity to establish a country university hub. This may be in a hub-type model where you can do a course for many universities or TAFEs locally. Initially, we are looking at establishing a steering group. In the area of key worker housing, we are looking at opportunities across the Shire for different forms and options for funding for this much-needed key worker housing. Over the last month, there has been a new committee appointed to the Marysville Community Centre, with several of the longer-term committee members retiring. Thanks were expressed to these members who have maintained the hire and booking of this wonderful asset for so many years, and recently through the COVID-19 pandemic. I would like to acknowledge and welcome the current committee, which is already looking at growing the activation and use of this great centre. Finally, I would like to take a moment to highlight the upcoming Marysville weekend over the 24th to 26th of November. Artists include Kate Sprana, William Crichton, Frank Sultana, Cass Eager, and many more. I mention this because Council is proud to be a sponsor of this multi-day event through the Grants and Sponsorship Program. Multi-day events such as this one encourages extended overnight and weekend stays, which are great for our local economy. Thank you.
This one, thank you.
My turn. After the flurry of activity in May and June, July has provided a time to consolidate. With the CEO and Councillor McCauley, I attended the Rural Council's Victoria Forum in Echuca. We saw the devastation caused to the port and museum complex by the October floods, and were advised by the port director that although the town sits on the confluence of the Murray and Campaspe rivers, it is water coming down the Goulburn that determines the level of flooding. Consequently, the continuing high releases from Lake Eildon have stopped a lot of the recovery work in Echuca, and especially in relation to the infrastructure along the river. I was sympathetic to the director's situation, but reminded him that the rate of release is essential if we are to avoid a repeat of last October. The Rural Council's Victoria Forum provided an opportunity for councils to highlight innovative ways in which common issues could be solved. Our manager community wellbeing, Stuart Collin, gave a well-received presentation on the deliberative engagement process successfully employed to assist the Eildon community to make decisions relating to the sale of council land. As has been previously mentioned, we are continuing advocacy for better roads funding, for the need to build back better after the October floods, for better management protocols for Lake Eildon water levels that provide greater emphasis on flood protection, for improved support for early childhood education and child minding services, and for the establishment of a regional university and training hub to support post-secondary training in the Shire. Three recent interviews on radio and newspapers have assisted in getting our message across. As part of our advocacy for better funding for infrastructure, I thank the Director of Assets and Environment, Peter Albertini, and Manager Sustainability and Assets, Peter Bain, who presented our submission to the Federal Parliamentary Inquiry into the implications of severe weather events on the national, regional, rural and remote road network. Again, their efforts were positively received. And in the spirit of saving the best till last, yesterday I conducted a citizenship ceremony where I had the pleasure of welcoming 9 new Australian citizens. Madam CEO.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh. Following the decision by the Victorian Government not to proceed with the hosting the Commonwealth Games in 2026, I attended a briefing held by Minister Jacinta Allan, Minister for the Commonwealth Games, who advised that the government will deliver a $2 billion package for regional Victoria to still receive the benefits that would have been facilitated by the Games. The package includes $1 billion towards a regional housing fund, $150 million for regional worker accommodation, $150 million for a regional tourism and event fund, among other funds. Although Murrindindi Shire had no role or involvement in the Commonwealth Games, we now have an opportunity to leverage some of these funding initiatives, and we have commenced discussions to ensure that we get our fair share of this regional $2 billion package. The annual community satisfaction survey is coordinated by the Department of Government Services on behalf of Victorian councils. We have recently received the results for 2023, which will be formally published in our annual report. But I'm happy to advise that the score for overall performance is 55, which is on par with other small rural councils and statewide. The overall council direction score of 46 is also on par with both similar councils and statewide. We had a slight increase in the value for money score of 46 compared to last year's 44. And most pleasingly, our customer service satisfaction reached a high of 69, which is well above other rules and above the state average. Council has been successful in applying for a building blocks planning grant and will receive $148,000 in funding from the Department of Education and Training. We are one of the local government areas included in the early rollout of pre-prep 30 hours of four-year-old kinder programs. Our recent early education service study indicates that services in the towns of Alexandra and Yay have capacity issues into the future. Council is seeking to develop solutions in conjunction with community and stakeholders through the funded Planning to Meet Demand project. In flood recovery, Council has lodged a series of claims under the National Disaster Arrangement for the immediate response from the 2022 floods, with the first payment due to be received this week and further claims in the coming months. We're also progressing with the program of works for restatement. Thank you.
Moving on to item number 8, record of council briefing sessions. We have a recommendation before us.
I'm sorry to mention that I think on the 19th of July, I attended virtually, and that's not noted. And I wondered if it should be. The 19th of July.
Would you care perhaps then to move the recommendation with such an amendment?
I would indeed. Thank you.
Would someone care to second? Councillor Hasland. All those in favour? With them? Carried. Sealing register. Would someone dare to move the list of items to which the council seal has been affixed? Be noted. Councillor Geringer. Second. Councillor Carpenter. All those in favour? Thank you. Harry. And that brings us to the end, and I declare the meeting closed at 7:39. Please close the link.